Wow, Robert, thank you. I asked Robert to just pick a song that represented what the theme was, and he just nailed it. Very glad. Paradise Valley. What do you think of when you think of paradise? I mean, what comes to mind? What kind of thoughts are expressed in your imagination? I think of oftentimes of wonderful places in this world that I would just love to be. I would just love to be here in this beautiful land called Kauai. In fact, it's referred to as paradise by many travel agents. Beautiful mountains, lush forests. I mean, you could walk for days and find food right and left. You could just literally live off of the land so easily. Or maybe it's possible that you're more of the housey type and you like the idea of something like Marinola, Italy. Beautiful, quaint town right on the sea shore there. You could sit at your window and cast your eyes out upon the beautiful sunrises and sunsets. And all the colorful homes. That's a nice place. And thinking of color, how about this mountain called the Rainbow Mountain in Peru? That would be a paradise to live there and to be able to sit and look out at the handiwork of God and all the beautiful colors that just brighten up as the sun rises and probably have fantastic shadows of light as the sun sets. Of course, I kind of like the idea of a great mansion. Wonderful mansion, a paradise. A place where you live there and there's room for everybody and you have servants, people that take care of you. I showed this picture to my wife, Sharon, and I said, wouldn't you want to live there? Paradise on earth. And the first thing she said to me is, who's going to clean it? You know, the paradise that Jesus talks about, the paradise that we read about in Scripture is far greater than any of these things that we could possibly imagine with our eyes. There isn't anything in the Bible that adequately expresses paradise. And as we go through the lesson, realize that there's two uses of paradise. There's paradise in Hades, a place for the souls to rest and await that paradise of heaven. But we can't describe that. These images just pale in comparison to what God has prepared for His children, for you. All of you who have obeyed God, one day will see these paradises. And for in this paradise, you'll have comfort, rest. You'll have a release from pain, a release from the ideas of death, a release from fear. You'll be released from hunger and thirst. All the worries of this world will just be gone from you. The burdens of day-to-day life will be gone in this paradise. All the hate and the violence that exists in our world today, gone. It'll be gone. And there's not going to be anything to clean. Because this is a place that God has prepared. This is a place that is perfect. This is a place that is holy. And there's no dirt there. There's nothing defiled there. And each of us who have obeyed the Lord can look forward to this place. We should be looking forward to it. We want to talk tonight a little bit about the gospel of paradise. That's the good news about paradise. We want to start in our Bibles, if you will. Well, let's go ahead and turn to the book of Luke. And we're familiar here with the book of Luke in chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And in this chapter, beginning in verse 39 through 43, we have an account of Jesus, literally the day before He entered into paradise, or the day of. And Jesus, if you remember here, he's on a cross. He's taken upon the sins of the world, our sins, the iniquity of us all, the pure Lamb of God. And off there also, on the right and the left, are two other men. They are thieves. And when you think of what's happening, the one thief, he turns over and he looks at the Lord Jesus, and these criminals are hanging there, and he says, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." And the other thief, he looks over and he's rebuking that man for what he said. He's rebuking him because that man had the gall to say, "If." Do you hear that? He said, "If you are the Christ." If. And not only did he say if, but he said, "If you're the Christ, save yourself and us." Well, that other thief, he took note of that. And he said, "Do you not even fear God?" You see, he had the right idea. Because he says, we're under the same condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And listen, as you look down there at verse 42, listen carefully to what's being said. In verse 42 it says, Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You hear the difference in the language? If you're the Son of God, save yourself and save us. Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. When you come into paradise, remember me. You see, he accepted his fate. He actually, in those words, he didn't expect to go into the kingdom. He didn't expect Jesus to usher him anywhere good. He knew he was the robber, the thief. And all he did was say, "When you get there, remember me." That's awesome, because just the idea of having the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Christ, just simply remember you, meant so much to him. And yet Jesus, in the next verse, in verse 43, Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise." Those are words that should echo in our hearts. Eliminate all those pictures we saw and start imagining what paradise might be like. Our minds can't do that. But we can study about what it is. So tonight we want to examine paradise. We want to look at keeping the knowledge of what has taken place, that we crucify our flesh and we are buried with Christ in baptism and we are now walking in Christ Jesus all the days of our lives, awaiting to be in that certain place called paradise. And the truth is, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus said it to you. Have you obeyed God? Have you been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, added to the body of Christ? If you've done that, then this lesson should raise your hopes. If you've done that, then you know the Savior. If you've done that, you understand His love. If you've done that, you have the hope and the peace. Because we know the way. The way is Jesus. Just quickly, let's look at the word paradise itself. The word paradise is from the Greek paradisus. You may have heard that before. It actually means park or garden. And that word, it infers enclosure. It infers something that has got walls around it. Just that very word. In the lexicon, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's used in Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, when the Lord planted a garden. He planted that garden eastward of Eden. That garden is this place that's walled in, and in that garden, of course, he had formed man out of the ground, all the trees, the herbs, everything was made there, and it was all good in the sight of God. And in the midst of that garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which caused a lot of trouble. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 43 that we already read, we know that that's the place we want to be. In the Jewish literature, it's referred to as the abode of the righteous dead, and it's found in the New Testament three times, this word, paradisus. In Luke chapter 23:43, the one we read, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, it talks about how Paul was caught up into paradise. And it says he heard inexpressible words, words which were not legal or lawful to utter. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, he who has an ear to hear, the Lord says, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give him to eat of the tree of life. That tree of life is in the paradise called heaven, which is in the midst of the paradise, the garden of God. And so, before the ascension of Christ, this word takes on a different connotation. Jesus promised the thief on the cross, this day you will be with me in paradise. Peter makes a statement in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 31 concerning this. He says, foreseeing, he spoke concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that his soul would not be left in Hades. That is that realm that we'll talk about here in a second, in paradise, awaiting the paradise of heaven. And in this case, Jesus, his flesh was not left there. Because we know he arose from the grave after 3 days and he sits on the right hand of God, which is where we all ultimately want to be. In John chapter 20 and verse 17, Jesus, his statement to Mary, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, he says. This is shortly after the resurrection. And he says, but go to my brother and say to them, I am ascending to my Father, and I go to my God and your God. And all these words should just thrill us to think about that Jesus refers to his God as our God, his Father as our Father. And then in Luke 16, 19 through 31, if we look over there, Luke chapter 16, again, this is a very familiar verse. It's nothing that we haven't heard before. In this chapter, we read about a rich man, and he died. And we read about a very poor man named Lazarus, and he died. And he, together, they are both taken into Hades. That rich man being in torment, Tartarus, and he lifted up his eyes, and he saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, which we understand is paradise. And he cried out to Father Abraham, have mercy on me, verse 24, and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in the water. He's in a place he doesn't want to be. You see, he didn't take the time to think about what it was like in this life and what we need to do to prepare for the next life. And yet, as we read on, in verse 26, he describes this paradise as having a great gulf between Tartarus and paradise. This great gulf that keeps them from crossing over from one side to the other. So it's a place that we either want to be or don't want to be. We either want to be in paradise And if we live a life obedient to Christ, if we have given ourselves over to Him, yielded to Him, then we will be in paradise when this body fails. So paradise is the abode of the righteous dead. It's not heaven. It's Hades. And let's look at a chart here. As we look at this, everybody's going to be born, right? Have I been born? That's easy, right? Sin entered the world long before you were born, long before I was born. And we're born as children of God, and yet because as we grow older we sin, we become part of the kingdom of Satan. And we need to obey God in order to be in the kingdom of God. And then eventually, not only are we born, but eventually we all have a physical death. Say the Lord returns. And as that physical death takes place, our physical bodies go into the physical grave. But our soul, depending on whether we're in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan, our soul goes to one of two places. If you're in the kingdom of Satan when you die, if you've not obeyed Christ, if you haven't been baptized, if you haven't put on Christ, been a part of His church, and walked in faith, then you're in the kingdom of Satan, and you'll end up in Tartarus, which is where that rich man was, that place of torment. And in Tartarus, you'll be able to look up and see paradise, which is going to make it even worse. But between you and paradise is a great chasm. There's no crossing. And in that paradise, if you've obeyed the Lord, you'll be there. And then there's going to be a resurrection where everyone is raised from the grave, the good and the bad. And then the judgment takes place. And on that day of judgment, if you've been in the kingdom of Satan, you'll be in Gehenna, which is hell. That's the word for hell. Not Hades, Gehenna. And if you've been righteous in Christ, through the blood of Christ, then you'll be in paradise, which is heaven. That's that final resting place. After the ascension of Christ, Paul's comment regarding paradise in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 2 through 4, do you remember that? He said, I know a man 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. But I know what I don't know. Or rather, I do not know, but God knows. Such was one caught up into the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know again, but God knows. And he was caught up into paradise. Paul is getting this wonderful vision of something to come. It's inexpressible, he said, in words, and even unlawful for a man to utter. You remember the images that we showed in the beginning? Remember those beautiful places? You remember, could you describe in your mind the island of Kauai? Can you see that in your mind? Can you see in your mind the city of Manola or Marinola in Italy? Can you see the city of the Rainbow Mountains, how beautiful they were? And you remember the castle? So you can see those things. Can you see paradise? Paul couldn't even describe it. He didn't even try to describe it. And the words that he heard, he didn't even try. They were inexpressible. The paradise of God is so much better than all those imageries. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul very succinctly says, he says, we're confident, yes, rather to be present with the Lord and absent from the body. We want to be present with the Lord. All of us who are in Christ, we yearn for that day. We hope that the Lord is coming soon. In Philippians, Paul, he writes to be with the Lord. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But I live in the flesh, he says. And this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet I shall choose. I can't, what I shall choose, I cannot tell, he says. I'm hard pressed, he says, between two. That Greek word for hard pressed between two, it refers to giant rocks on either side, like a passageway through a cauldron. Hard pressed between two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far, far better. That paradise is something we want and yearn for. You know, in Revelation 7, 9 through 17, and we won't read all that, but we just glance at that here. And what John saw after these things, he says, I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number of all the nations, tribes, and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders of the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And he goes on to describe these men in the arrayed in white robes and the glory of heaven, that they're the ones who came out of the great tribulation, who washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they stood before the throne of God, and they served him day and night. No hunger anymore in verse 16. No thirst anymore, verse 16. There's no sun. Why? Verse 17, because the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear of their eyes. This is a place I want to be. Remember the song that we sang, Paradise Valley, up in the beautiful Paradise Valley by the side of the River of Life. That's talking about heaven. Up in the valley, the wonderful valley, will be free from all pain and strife. There we shall live in rose-tinted gardens, neath the shadow of the evergreen tree. How I long for the Paradise Valley, where the beauty of heaven I'll see. That's where I want to be. That's what paradise, the abode of the righteous dead, will change one day from Hades to heaven. And after the return of Christ, the promise of new heavens and a new earth, the promise of the tree of life, to be a partaker of the tree of life and the rivers of the waters of life, and to be in paradise. That's what he said. Revelation 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, he says, I will give him to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden, the paradise of God. Just, we can't see it, but we can know it in our hearts. We can yearn for even that which we don't see. We're like an architect who has an imagination and has built that great castle. Nothing compares to the architecture of God, but we are a people who can build a faith in our hearts and a yearning for that paradise to come, that heavenly abode. And it's a place we want to be. We want to be in with that new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven, that promise in the fulfillment of the Lord. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. All these things that we know and we can see with our eyes, all those images, those mountains of rainbow and the beautiful colors of that city and that beautiful island of Kauai and that great castle, they'll all be gone. And what will take their place is something more beautiful than any man's eyes or any man's mind or any man's heart can imagine. A place that we want to be. That holy city of Jerusalem, the bride of Christ coming down as adorned for her husband, the church. That great high mountain that the Spirit carries them away to. He says, I saw no temple there. I saw no temple there. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, they are its temple. The Lamb is its light. Remember, they don't need the sun to shine on them because the Lamb is the light. That's a place we want to be. In the streets, in the middle of the street, proceeding from the throne, the 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves on those trees are for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God on the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face. You're going to see God. You're going to see God. And all you have to do is be faithful until death. There's no night there. We need no lamps or lights. We don't need the sun, for God gives the light, and He shall reign forever and ever. Paradise, the abode of the righteous dead, will be out of heaven to gather us up into the new Jerusalem. For those who do, Jesus' commandments, you'll see that place one day. In Revelation 22, 12 through 17, Jesus says, I come quickly, my reward is with me, and I give to everyone according to his works. Are your works today in alignment with Jesus? Are you doing the will of God? Are you walking in the light as He is the light? He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And blessed are those who do His commandments. Why are they blessed? Because they will be in that heavenly paradise when it's all said and done. And listen, that paradise is a wonderful place. All the immoral things, all the sexually immoral, the murderers and the idolaters and all the evil practices, they'll be on the outside. There'll be no one of those things will be touched inside of that holy city. Jesus says, I have sent my angels to testify. And the spirit of the bride says, come. Have you come yet? Jesus is saying, come. He says, the bride says, the spirit of the bride says, come. Let him who hears, come. And let him who thirsts, come. And whoever desires to take the water of the tree of life freely, just come. We have a bull back here called a baptismal that we just keep ready for anyone who's just needs to come. You know, in Luke 6:46, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say? He's calling you. Come. You know, He says in John 14:15, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Just come. He who has my commandments, He says, and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved of my Father. Come. We all want to see paradise. What are the commandments? You know, Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, that's who comes to Him. Have you heard the words? I know you have. Then come. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, all authority is given unto Him, Jesus, in heaven and earth. And He says, go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And lo, I will be with you till the end of the age. You baptize them and you teach them all that I've commanded you, and He'll be with you until that end comes. Mark 16:15, Jesus said, he who believes, He says, go out and teach every creature on the earth, everyone. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who does not believe shall be condemned. Jesus wants you to come. He wants to be with you in this paradise. Those who overcome will be given to eat of the tree of life. just by coming to Jesus tonight, you can be given to eat of the tree of life. That's that tree that we talked about in our Bible lesson this morning. That's that tree that Adam and Eve, God didn't let them have the fruit of that tree. But He's going to open that up for you. Just because you've obeyed the Lord, and He's going to put you in this paradise, that garden, right in heaven, right there where you can see God. And all you have to do is come. Revelation 2:10, we're going to suffer in this world. Certainly we are. And the devil's about to throw people into prison, God says, Jesus says, but He says, be faithful until death. For those of you who have come, be faithful until death, and you'll receive that crown of life, heaven. Paradise, the abode of the righteous dead, will be for those who die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. The Lamb will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. I hope that paradise is something you're looking forward to. Because if you obey the Lord, if you've heard any of this, and you have obeyed the Lord, then you know that this is waiting for you. If you've heard these things and you have not yet been baptized into Christ, tonight's the night. There's no reason to wait. So that you can apply these words, you will be with me in paradise. Okay, will you do that tonight as we stand and as we sing?